Fresh Takes is a seasonal showcase of some of the best new pieces of publishing, featuring established and emerging writers, reading from their works and reflecting on the writers and creators who have shaped them. It's on tomorrow evening, Tuesday, 21st of October, from 6 p.m. at the State Library of New South Wales. And one of the many authors having a chat is Ariel Bogle, a reporter with a focus on technology, law and the internet. Investigations reporter at The Guardian Australia. Ariel has won an Walkley Award for her journalism, has worked in media in Australia and the US for more than 10 years, and along with Cam Wilson, author of a book called Conspiracy Nation, Inside the Hidden and Dangerous World of Australian Conspiracy Theories, Ariel joins us now on 2SER Breakfast. Hey, how are you going?
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Do I dare ask what inspired you to write this book?
Yes, of course. So both Cam and I have been journalists, I guess, in what you might call the online culture conspiracy extremism world for many years now. And we met up, I think it was 2023, around that time. We were both kind of reflecting on those pandemic years. I think for a lot of people, that's when some of these conspiratorial narratives, you know, stories about the virus, about the vaccine, started to kind of permeate their relationships or just get a lot more prominence. And a lot of people thought this was just an American thing, maybe imported here, getting picked up here. But we thought there was a story to tell about what exactly this meant for Australia, you know, what kind of conspiracy theories take off here, flourish here, and that's what our book looks at.
Conspiracy theories are not a new phenomenon. I was imagining as long as there's been organised societies, there have been people in those societies suspicious of who's pulling the strings, what's going on behind the curtains. But with unprecedented access to information that we have nowadays through the internet, is a contemporary conspiracy theories different? Big question. So much so that Ariel doesn't want to answer it. Ariel, are you there with us? Oh, don't tell me the government's got you. You're on mute. Oh,
hello.
Hello.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, great. Sorry about that. Yeah, essentially, as you said, these tropes occur across centuries, across borders. There's a long history here, but we do think the ones that take off here say something about Australian society, I suppose, when we look at things like the conspiracy theories that grew after Port Arthur or after certain vaccine incidences here in Australia. You know, these are things that tell us about what we fear here, what power structures we have concerns about. These are the kinds of narrative tropes we find spreading here.
All right. What are the Cliff's Notes on the things that we fear here?
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have probably heard a lot about sovereign citizens lately. There's been a lot of that in the news for obvious reasons, in the wake of some police shootings, Weambilla and in Porepunkah in Victoria. And we connect this to a phenomenon might be better called pseudo-law. You know, this is a collection of beliefs that people have in growing numbers here in Australia, that certain laws are illegitimate or that the government has become corrupted and evil in some way based on a number of different conspiratorial threads that we draw on and explain in the book. But I think it, you know, reflects a lot of discomfort we might have with some of our institutions, you know, the legal system, the medical system, our politics. It's really complicated institutions. And when you're an individual kind of getting confronted with that power, it does seem like, you know, the world may be arrayed against you. And you can see how some people, you know, not a lot of people, but some people might turn in these conspiratorial directions.
As a sovereign citizen myself, I find it really difficult finding someone to take out the garbage for me. With all that in mind, is the healthy skepticism thing, is that a good thing to have, do you think, or can it go too far?
Oh, absolutely. Certainly in this book, you know, we're two journalists. The role of journalism is to uncover conspiracy, you know, in many ways, to uncover what power is doing behind closed doors. So we're certainly not arguing everyone shouldn't be engaging in blind trust of any institution. And healthy skepticism, I think I have healthy skepticism. I think that's a good way to go through life. But certainly when this tips over into belief in kind of what we would define a conspiracy theory to be, belief in that there is a secret cabal out there plotting evil against the common good, you know, this is a pretty basic narrative, good versus evil, but it can become immune to evidence and people can become quite closed off in these belief systems. And that's when healthy skepticism can sort of turn into a more dangerous path.
I imagine the experience writing this book must have been fascinating. They're talking to different people, groups about their conspiracy theories.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk to believers. I think what we try and do in the book too is distinguish between the people that have turned to these ideas, often in a moment of crisis, you know, whether it be a financial crisis, a health crisis, or just that disruption caused by the pandemic, for example, and the people that are selling these ideas, making money off them, or trying to accumulate power, using them, scaring their followers into certain belief systems. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting experience talking to people in these communities, trying to share what's going on, you know, not in a judgmental way necessarily, but just to help explain what is exactly going on out there.
I imagine part and parcel with all of this is a distrust in the media. You're obviously a reporter. You work for the ABC, for The Guardian, The New York Times, The Atlantic, The Financial Review, Slate, and so many more. Sort of, what's the tactic that you use there to sort of say, well, you know what, journalists are actually here, they're trying to help things to unmask conspiracies, as you say, when people might confront you with the theories that, hey, we shouldn't trust journalists?
Yeah, it's a great point. And like, I'm not going to deny that often mainstream news, quote unquote, has played a role in spreading some of these conspiratorial narratives. We look at in the book too, the role of some parts of the media in engaging in this kind of rhetoric as well, which is pretty risky stuff. And when I try and talk to people, you know, I'm not there to argue with them. You know, I'm not there to sort of disabuse them of the notion necessarily, but I want to understand why they want these ideas, what need they fulfill for them. And that's kind of the approach we took in the book when asking people to speak with us. You know, why do these ideas help you? Why have you clung to them? What purpose do they serve?
Ariel Bogle, this is absolutely fascinating stuff here talking with you. Can't wait to check it all out there at Fresh Takes tomorrow night at the State Library. I will put links up to the event on the 2SER website. I'll also put links up to Ariel's website where you can score a copy of a book with Cam Wilson, Conspiracy Nation: Inside the Hidden and Dangerous World of Australian Conspiracy Theories. Ariel, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on 2SER Breakfast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Not for nothing, here's some second idol. This one's called Spineless Wonders. Did I say 2SER Breakfast? We're watching you.